Let's pray. Father, we pause now to give you thanks that we are here by your grace and mercy, all of us, and certainly these confirmands. We give you thanks for the grace and mercy and forgiveness you have poured out on their lives through the waters of baptism. And we thank you for the ongoing work of your Spirit to strengthen them in faith, to bring them to this point of being confirmed in the faith. And yet, Father, we know there's a lot of life yet to be lived. We know, perhaps better than they, the battles that they will face. And so, Lord, we pray for not just them, but for all of us, that we might hear your word again today, that you would use your word to strengthen, to guide, to lead, to affirm, to confirm the faith, that we might be found trusting in you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, confirmands, you ready? Everybody breathing still? I mean, we've gone several years here. Nobody's fainted, so let's keep that streak alive. What do you say? Hey, I got a sermon for these confirmands, but I'll be honest with you. It's probably more for you. The reality is they've not lived enough life to fully appreciate what I'm about to say, but you have. And so I'm counting on you to hear the sermon, but not just to hear it, but to live it. And for all of you, at every opportunity you have, that you would help these confirmands, you would come alongside them to encourage them, to exhort them, to share with them, to lead them, that they might have life, life everlasting. And honestly, confirmands, if we ask everyone here, well, why do we make you go through confirmation? I mean, there'd be a few that would say, because it was miserable and I did it and they should have to do it too. But for the most part, you'd hear some other answers. Here's one answer I would give you. I want you to go through confirmation because I want you to have a good life. And what I mean by good life is I want you to live a life knowing without a doubt that you're deeply loved by your Father in heaven. That because of Christ, your sins are forgiven. And that through his Spirit, he will continue to walk with you through every up and down, every challenge, every stumble, every fall, and be right there with you to pick you up, to dust you off, to assure you of your forgiveness, and to lead you home safely. That's what I want for you. I want for you the good life. But the sad reality is most people don't find the good life. And so it starts today understanding three things. What confirmation is not, what confirmation is, and how do you find your way to the good life moving forward from here? That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's talk about what confirmation is not. Confirmation is not your ticket to heaven. Now I know most of you here are good Lutherans. I won't point out the few that aren't, but most of you are good Lutherans. And we would never say out loud, the confirmation, man, you just got to get through confirmation and you're good. You've punched your ticket to heaven, guaranteed. Why would we not say that? Because we're good Lutherans. We know we're saved by grace through faith alone. That we don't impress God by completing a course of study, but we're completely reliant on God's grace to be made right with him. But sometimes our actions betray what we really believe. There's an old tired joke that says, if you want to get the pigeons out of the church bell tower, just put them through confirmation and then they won't come back after that. It would be funnier if it weren't so true that the reality of human nature is we complete confirmation and by our actions we act as if, all right, we're good. We got the final stamp of approval. Now, just wait till the next life, but until then, just kind of go about your life doing as you please. But that's not quite true. In fact, in Colossians 1, Paul says this. In just three verses, he has two warnings and two promises. He says, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that's the first warning. The warning is, apart from Christ, you're God's enemy. You're on the other team. But then he follows immediately with a promise, yet he has now reconciled you through death, through the death of His Son, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. What a great promise. It's as if you appeared before the judge who has the authority to give you the death penalty. You know you're guilty. You know you're deserving of death. And yet the judge announces, for the sake of Christ, I find no crime committed here. In fact, I find you to be holy and blameless and innocent. You are free. That's all for the sake of Christ, that by grace He has given that gift to you in the waters of baptism. But then another warning. He said, this is all true. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. If you continue in the faith, not moved from the hope of the gospel, there's a warning there and a promise. The warning is this, that you could move away from the hope of the gospel. If you cease to gather with God's people, to hear His word, to receive His body and blood, there's the possibility that your faith could begin to waver, could begin to weaken, to the extent that one day you could wake up and discover, I no longer believe. At that moment, your hope has shifted away from the gospel. That's the warning. But hidden in that warning is a promise. We certainly should be concerned that our faith would shift from the hope of the gospel. And yet, there's a great promise here. The great promise is this, is that God, your Heavenly Father, has done all that is necessary for you to continue in the faith. He's provided you a church family that loves you. And as you continue to gather with that church family and hear His word and receive His body and blood in the Lord's Supper, the Lord assures you, your faith will remain. Your faith will grow. That there is absolutely nothing to worry about because of God's great promise. But it does tell us. Confirmation doesn't punch your ticket to heaven. So what does confirmation do? Confirmation is a boot camp. Confirmation is a boot camp. When you join the army, they cut your hair, give you a duffel bag to hold all your worldly possessions. And they give you a uniform, including some boots. And they ship you off to boot camp. And at boot camp, you learn to shine your boots, plus several hundred other things that's required to be a soldier. Boot camp can be intense. It requires discipline. It can be transformative. Confirmation's a boot camp for your faith. It can be intense. Anybody agree? I'm guessing for some of you, you did more devotions in the last 8 months than you had done in your entire life previous to that. You memorized and memorized and memorized the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, a whole song, and on it goes, all the books of the Bible, in a day in which nobody memorizes anything because we can look it all up. You, and I know you'd kill me if I forgot to mention this, you woke up early, early, early Saturday morning. I mean, it was so early, like the sun had only been up like 3 hours. It required some discipline. Required some discipline. And it could be transformative. You know, some of y'all, we ask questions in class, and you say, baptism, what? Baptism, okay, yeah, that's right. But April made you write an essay, didn't she? An essay that talked about what your faith looked like, lived out in your daily life. And then you had the great joy, I could see the joy in your face, to get up in front of your peers and read your essay about what the faith meant to you. And I know some of you were nervous, and maybe that wasn't the most comfortable thing, but it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing to hear how God, working through His Spirit and the Word, had transformed your life, had strengthened your faith. You're not the same person that entered confirmation. You've come out with a different faith. So that's what confirmation is. It's a boot camp. But let me clarify one thing. there's a boot camp in peacetime and there's a boot camp for wartime. The boot camp in peacetime, if you just get through the boot camp, life tends to get better from there. You get your assignment, you do a job, and you're still wearing the uniform, but you're kind of like everybody else. But in wartime, you leave boot camp and you go to the front lines. Now things really get intense. Now you come face to face with an enemy. And that's the situation you're in. You're in a time of war. That's not always obvious. The enemy's quiet and sneaky and deceptive. He doesn't always come and show up with a bazooka pointed at your face. But there's a spiritual war going on. Paul describes it this way in Colossians 1. He says, in your baptism, you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. You've changed teams. You're on God's team now. But that means you have an enemy. Jesus speaks of that enemy in John 10:10, what you just heard read. He says, the thief, the enemy, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's after your faith. He wants to kill your faith. The enemy is unimpressed. You've made it through confirmation. He's not going to give up. He's going to keep coming at you. And yet Jesus promises the abundant life. The abundant life is the good life, both now and forever. And like I said before, few obtain that good life because they go looking for it in all the wrong places. It's one thing to know the answers in church. Have you noticed every time, you know, in the children's message, how many times the answer is Jesus? If you don't know, just guess Jesus, right? Everybody's learned that, right? Yeah, okay, you've learned that. But once you get out there and you get into the battle and the bullets start flying and things get loud and confusing, it can be harder to come up with those answers. And so in the midst of a war, you need something to give you some direction, to orient your life. And so I got you a gift for confirmation. This is a compass. You'll find it in your box in the lobby. Now, I admit, this compass is a pretty lame gift. I mean, nobody uses compasses anymore, right? How do you get to where you want to go? Well, there's an app for that, right? You just punch it into an app, and you get turn-by-turn directions on how to go. Who needs a compass? Well, I'll tell you, I pulled out my Google Maps and I punched in the good life. And you know what I got? The top 5 results. 2 of them were bars. 2 of them were gyms. And 1 was a meditation center. And it's just a little reminder that perhaps we need something more than the latest technology to orient us to the good life. You see, people come up with bars and gyms and meditation because they're using the wrong compass. I've given you a compass, but you actually already have 2 other compasses, and one is the one most people use. Let's call it the Jack Sparrow compass. You remember Pirates of the Caribbean? Yes, Jack Sparrow. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Jack Sparrow had a compass. And where did that compass point? What his deepest desire? It pointed in the direction of his deepest desire. But there were times that compass needle wouldn't quit spinning. It was as if he had more than one desire. In fact, he had lots of desires. And sometimes that compass brought him to a place he desired, and yet it didn't ever quite work out the way he had hoped. Do you know you have a compass like that? It's called your heart. Your heart is a compass that has desires, but often conflicting desires, like Jack. You might want to be the best flute player in the band, but you also don't want to practice. You want to make good grades, but you also want to stay up all night watching YouTube videos. We have conflicting desires. It turns out the compass of the heart is an unreliable compass to lead us to the good life. You need a compass that points in one direction, like this compass. Do you know, with this compass, we could put this compass in your hand. We could spin you around, turn you over, blindfold you. We could scream in your ear 100 different directions, And you might be a little wobbly on your feet, but when you looked at this compass, it would tell you where north was every single time. I mentioned you already have two compasses besides this one I just gave you. There's another compass you have. It's what Pastor Bray talked about in the children's message. It's the Word of God. And do you know the Word of God always points in the same direction? You're going to go out into the world. You're going to face some battles. There's going to be some friends that gossip. There's going to be some kids that bully. There's going to be some others that cheat to get ahead. And on and on and on it goes. At times you're going to feel like you've been turned around, spun around, turned upside down, flipped back right side up, and life gets a little confusing. But you have a compass. You have a compass called the Word of God. And this compass always points to Jesus. Always. When you have any doubts as to which way to go, you go to the Word of God. You stay in the Word of God, that this compass would keep you pointed to Jesus no matter what you face. This compass will get you home safely. Jesus said, "The sheep hear my voice." And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's in this word you hear the voice of Jesus. It's in this word you learn what direction to walk in the steps of Jesus. It's in this word that will orient your life for the rest of your life. You made a good start in this boot camp. Continue in it. Continue in it. Stay in his word. Allow him to lead you to the good life. It won't always be the easy life. It won't always be the comfortable life. It won't be the painless life. But it'll be the good life, and you'll find it. That's my prayer for you. So let me pray for you now. Will you join me? Father, we pray for these confirmands. I pray that you would give them a hunger and thirst in their soul for your word. I pray that your word would be buried deep in their heart, that your spirit may draw upon that word to bring to mind at appropriate times, to protect, to guide, to challenge, to encourage, to affirm. I pray, Lord, that they would walk this life and never doubt that you love them no matter what. No matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, no matter where they find themselves, that they know there's a word that will lead them home. And at home, they will find a Heavenly Father ready to embrace them for the sake of a Son who has given his life for them. Father, we entrust them to your care. Would you grow in them a great faith? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.